This is the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 166.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
What's up? What's up? Hey guys, I'm going to be interviewing my buddy and fellow Life and Air mastermind member, Steve Cavanaugh. And if you guys don't know Steve, he actually recently moved to West Palm Beach from Maryland. He actually, he owns a successful real estate operation out in Maryland where he does his own flips and wholesales. And he works with several students and helping them get their rehab business going. So he's really dialed in what it takes to run and operate a successful rehab business. And he also runs one of the local RIAs there in Southern Maryland, the Real Estate Investors Association. Steve's been doing this business since, I think it's 2003 that he's been at this. So he's a veteran of the game. He's done, I think him and his students have done like over $40 million in real estate projects over the past 9 years. And what some of the things that we're going to get into in this episode, it's not going to be content on rehabbing per se, but you know, I think Steve has worked with 35 students and he's got 100% success rate as far as those students doing deals. And we're really going to kind of dissect, since he's had the opportunity to work with so many people, it's really about, you know, the mindset and why does he see some people succeed? Why does he see everybody succeed that he's worked with? But then yet there's other people that just have a hard time getting traction, momentum, and just getting things going. And you know, he didn't start off as a rehabber. His first wholesale deal, he made $101,000 and some change, which is pretty insane. And we kind of do a mini deep dive case study on that deal. And I think this episode is going to be a little different because it's not necessarily content on wholesaling, but we really just talk a lot about mindset and we just talk about, you know, his experience, like from a coach's perspective, how he sees what separates people that succeed in this business from those that don't. And we talk about some things that that I think can really just strike a chord with you. So having said that, let's jump into this week's masterclass episode. Hey, what's going on, my friends? It's Alex. I got another great masterclass for you here with my buddy, Steve Cavanaugh. Steve, what's going on, my man?
Alex, not much, man. How you doing?
Everything's awesome, man. It's just to kind of give everybody listening a little bit of background and context. So Steve and I actually haven't even known each other that long. I mean, we kind of travel in the same circles and we have some mutual friends, Sean McCloskey, who I've had on the show before. You guys should definitely check out that episode. But recently, about two and a half months ago, Steve, I want to say you and I met at the Life and Air Mastermind Retreat. We're both part, you know, we're big into Life and Air and we're part of their mastermind. And Steve was just someone I was just instantly drawn to. He's just, you know, he's just super cool and down to earth. And he's accomplished a lot in this business. And one of the things, you know, we're going to be talking about a couple different things, but, you know, he's been very, very successful at figuring out the rehab game and then super successful at coaching people on how to run a rehab business the way it should be run. And I know a lot of people that listen to the show are wholesalers, and but Steve really understands both sides of the business. And you know, he was telling me before we hopped on here that his very first wholesale deal, and not to steal your thunder, Steve, but his very first wholesale deal out of the gates, he made over $100,000, which is like crazy to me that that's your first deal. Talk about being spoiled, right? But so we're definitely, Steve's going to walk us through that deal. And then we're going to talk about, you know, we're going to share a lot of mindset stuff, just a lot of business building that can really help you. So, you know, if you're a wholesaler and you have no interest in rehabbing, I don't want you to tune out here because I think there's going to be a lot that is really going to hit you between the eyes, just as far as being an entrepreneur, having the right mindset, and being able to set up the systems and the structure to be able to successfully run a business that operates without you. I mean, I know one of the things, Steve recently moved down to my neck of the woods over in West Palm, a little north of me, and his business is back in Maryland, right, Steve?
That's correct. Yep.
Yeah, man. Awesome. So, dude, kind of giving people that backstory. Tell us, you know, for those who have never heard of you, you know, who you are, how you got started in this business, and then kind of an overview of what your business looks like today.
Sure. So, Thanks for the introduction, Alex. Today, I am primarily a rehabber first, wholesaler second, hard money lender third, coach fourth, and then I also run the Southern Maryland Real Estate Investors Group. And here lately, in the past few years, I've really gotten into IRA investing as well. So that's kind of an overview of what I do right now.
Awesome.
We'll do probably around 40 rehab deals this year. I've coached 35 people in the Southern Maryland market. I do coach folks nationwide as well, but my folks in the Southern Maryland market have done extremely well. And I would say over the past 13 years, we've sold around $60 million worth of retail real estate project at that time.
So nice, man.
And I have I'm happy to say I have 100% success rate with my coaching students there locally. Anybody who has come to me for coaching has set up in a real estate investing business or has made five-figure profits on each of their three deals that we joint venture on together, and they're off and deciding whether or not they want to continue on that path, which why wouldn't you, right?
That's amazing. So let me ask you this, not to kind of interject in too much of your story here, but you know, a lot of people to have 100% success rate in your coaching business is pretty impressive. I don't know very many people that can make that claim. What is it that you see in people that you're able to get them to move forward and take action? Because there's a lot of people that either struggle with procrastination, or even the people that hire a coach sometimes just don't implement and execute. Have you kind of found a common denominator, like the DNA in someone that's wired to get coaching, or you know, learn on their own or through other people, through YouTube videos and podcasts? Like, I guess I'm asking, Steve, what separates, in your opinion, those that kind of struggle to get out of the gates and gain momentum and traction in this business, and those that just crush it and go on to build, you know, successful businesses?
Oh, that's a great question. And we could go a number of different directions on here. So I'll try to, you know, catch some of these different directions here for you. First and foremost, when I am screening for people that I'm going to get involved with on a very intense, long, prolonged coaching relationship where we're going to actually be doing deals together on a joint venture basis, I want to work with A players. And I want to work with people who are going to bring something complementary to the table. So if I'm going to bring the education and knowledge and contacts, they need to bring the hours and the due diligence and the desire to work with alongside with me. So when I'm screening them out, I will tell you, I look for two very big things. Number one, I need to make sure that that person is not a victim. In other words, life happens for them, not
to them. Yep.
Okay. And then the second thing is I'm trying to screen out know-it-alls. I can't coach somebody who's going to try to coach me. Don't come pay me money and tell me to coach you and then try to coach me on what I should know and what I don't and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. I think that speaks to the general notion of being coachable. So if somebody's not a victim and they are coachable, then that makes for a win usually. And we screen very heavily, and unfortunately, we do turn many people down for the coaching program, but we have to make sure that we are always providing valuable people into the network and the group that we've built. Just like, you know, when you join the masterminds that you're a part of, they're A-player groups, and the people who are guarding that door need to only let A-players into that room. We're doing the same thing here with coaching. So I think that, number one, ensures success, because when they get in that incubator environment with other successful people, it's just going to catapult them to success.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I couldn't agree with you. And I really love what you said. And just to kind of throw it back out there, because I think it's worth repeating. You said, I don't want to kind of kill your quote, but you know, you're looking for people where life happens for them, not to them. And I think that's a mindset shift right there. You know, there's a lot of people that adopt that victim mentality and they operate out of level one, you know, and they kind of point the finger and look at others versus looking internally. And I really, you know, I strongly believe, and I think I need to dedicate more episodes to the mindset, although it's not sexy and it's not what's probably going to get more downloads. Mindset is so important because, you know, I've mentioned this before, we can talk all the strategies and techniques in the world, but if you're not made of the right kind of stuff in between your ears and in your head, you're just going to have a hard time really achieving any level of success and sustaining it, you know?
That's so true. I mean, I think back to when I was in Little League baseball, for example, and I actually started late. I played T-ball, then I quit for many years, and then I picked back up when I was about 13 years old. So all the guys I was playing with you know, they had had all those years of experience. So when I picked back up, I was the low man on the totem pole, and I had to learn very quickly what it made to become a very good baseball player in a short period of time. So I spent many winters off in the batting cage and indoor batting cage and stuff like that. What I learned was that focusing on the fundamentals was more important than anything else. Baseball is a game of the fundamentals. Many sports are the game of fundamentals. Business is the same way. And I think one of those building blocks of business is mindset. It's a fundamental. And if you start anything in life, but especially if you start a business in life without that that fundamental mindset foundation, then it is destined to fail if you don't start it with that in place. So, you know,
it's so true. It's so true. And I think a lot of people really struggle with, you know, when they don't see success happen right away, they quit, or they just stop, or they get frustrated with the process. And, you know, you bring up baseball, and I forgot what book I read this in. I would love to give the author credit, but he brought up the fact and the analogy that, you know, you look at a sport like professional baseball, the very best professional baseball players fail 70% of the time when they're at the plate. Mm-hmm. And that really like struck a chord with me that, you know, the very best in the world at what they do fail when they're at the plate 70% of the time, meaning like some of the best baseball players, their batting averages are around 300, you know, meaning that they are out of every 10 at bats, they're failing 70% of the time. And I think if we kind of think about that in our business as well, you just got to keep going, you know. So not only do you have to have the right mindset, but I think there's something to be said for just persistence and perseverance. Obviously, you got to take the right kinds of actions. You have to surround yourself with the right kind of people. But, you know, you have to just have that will to keep going. And you got to have thick skin, because you're going to fall on your ass several times. It's just a matter of how quick you get back up and go right back at it, you know.
That's true. You know, the other thing too is this is a people business, right? So a lot of people think it's all about real estate, but it's really not. It's really about people. So with that in mind, I mean, people are going to disappoint you, and people are going to exceed your expectations. So you've just always got to be ready for either one of those two things to happen. And man, I couldn't agree more. So
sweet, man. So let's kind of pivot. I mean, obviously, you know, rehabbing is your bread and butter, and coaching people in the rehab game. But you started off as a wholesaler, and you mentioned at the top of the show that, you know, you're a wholesaler second. I was kind of floored by the fact that your very first deal, you made over $100,000. So walk us through what that deal looked like. Maybe we can kind of do a little mini deep dive case study here.
Sure. Well, if you don't mind, I'm going to give a little bit of my background, and I'm just going to tell the story, which can tend to be a longer story, but so interject as needed here. But I graduated college in 1999. I was a communication arts major, music minor, which basically meant that my classes weren't too hard and I had a lot of fun. it didn't have anything to do with business, didn't have anything to do with real estate. And I knew somebody who knew somebody who was able to get me a job without an interview doing IT work, making $36,000 a year in the government sector, which to me at that point in time was the most money that I had ever heard of in my life. So I took it, no interview, you know, no hassle, done deal, right? Mm-hmm. So I very quickly started in the 9-to-5 routine, which really was more like 9-to-6 or 7. you know, because once you go on salary, they expect you to work all these long hours, right? So I was commuting 1 hour each way, and I very quickly found myself in the rat race, living paycheck to paycheck. You know, I had student debt, car loans, you know, and all that good stuff most people in that situation happen to have.
Yep.
So I worked the 12-hour days, and, you know, even worse than that, I was on call. Like, I used to remember I used to wear a pager. Remember those?
Oh, yeah. you remember the beeper codes?
I don't, but I remember them going off in the middle of the night sometimes and waking me up.
So, there you go.
All I need to remember. And so, you know, I just knew that this wasn't the way to make a living for me. And several years of doing that, I got to the point where I came to the realization that, and I'm so fortunate at such a young age, I was able to come to the realization that if I was ever going to be free, it was going to be up to me. Mm-hmm. I need to take it upon myself in my own hands to go out there and make my own income. And I realized that, as silly as it sounds, but it's real in a capitalist society, that you buy your freedom. I had to buy my freedom. I had to buy my freedom out of a job, working these long hours, doing these long commutes. I felt like I was dying behind the wheel of a car. Anybody who's ever commuted knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Yep.
So what I did during that period of enlightenment and the ensuing investigation of entrepreneurial opportunities, one of the things that I came across was real estate investing. More specifically, I came across this website called flippinghomes.com. Mm-hmm. At that point in time, was one of the biggest, if not the biggest, real estate investing websites on the internet at that time. And it was owned by a guy named Steve Cook, who later on became my coach and mentor and is to this day. But in any event, I started getting educated, much like many of your listeners do, by listening to podcasts. Well, back then we didn't have podcasts, but going on forums, stuff like that, reading books, you know, all that kind of free information at the very beginning. But I quickly realized that I was going to have to actually spend some money if I really wanted to learn something. So I did two things. Number one, I sought out a local mentor. A friend of mine got hip to what I was doing, and he said, yeah, I'd be interested in that too. So it was actually ended up being a group of three of us. We ended up going to a friend of his. I guess his mom knew an older woman who owned both a loan brokerage and a real estate brokerage, and she had been very successful. And we ended up going to her office for lunch every single day. We all worked together, and we would walk across the street to her office, and she would mentor us for like 15 minutes. Okay, hey, guys, I need you to go do a mail campaign to this neighborhood or that. And we had no idea what we were doing at all. Mm-hmm. In fact, if I told you about it, you'd just laugh at me what we did. But we would just send single mailers to these places that she would tell us to do, and had no idea. It was a lot like Mr. Miyagi and Karate Kid. Wax on, wax off.
Wax on, wax off, yeah.
No idea what we were doing, you know? But in any event, I did that. That was the first thing I did. And the second thing I did is I'm not exaggerating. I was just living paycheck to paycheck. I was putting car payments on credit cards. I mean, that's how I was living. Many of your listeners, I'm sure, can relate when they were getting started the same way.
Sure.
So what I ended up doing, the second big thing I did is I pulled together change literally from my car and my couch cushions and stuff like that, and any of the bit of money that I had sitting around. I was able to save up money to go to my first real estate investing boot camp that Steve Cook happened to live in Baltimore. Just happened to be about an hour and 15 minutes up the road from me. I was so nervous. I was so scared, and I didn't know if I paid $1,000+ to attend this event, if I was going to get anything out of it, or if I was going to get sold something, or I had no idea what to expect at all. But I went to that, and it was a three-day event. And between the stuff that I learned at that event and between the stuff that this woman, her name is Irene, was teaching the three of us to do, I came home and I basically put all those things together and I really started marketing. So fast forward to the details of this deal. So probably several months down the road, it was probably 6 to 8 months down the road. Again, we only did single mailings. We didn't do like 6 to 10 mailings like we do nowadays, right?
Yeah.
And we really didn't know what we were doing. It was just a piece of paper that said, we buy houses. Hey, look, I want to buy your house kind of thing. Nothing crazy. No ninja marketing techniques or anything like that. Mm-hmm. This guy calls me and says, hey, Steve, I've got your letter that you sent, and I don't even know if you'd still be interested, but I've got some property for sale. Are you interested? And so I said, sure, sure. Tell me a little bit about it. So we got talking, and it turned out that this gentleman had two lots in the subdivision that we were marketing to, because we knew that a lot of the local builders were building in this neighborhood. Now, this was as things was ramping up. This was like in 2004, 2005 timeframe, when things were kind of really getting hot and builders were so hungry for property because they were building houses like crazy. Mm-hmm. And so I said, okay. And I said, give me all the details and I'll get back to you, right? So I took all the details down and I started researching them. And at a glance, it looked like lots in this neighborhood were going for about $105,000. So I called the guy back and I said, what were you looking to get for these properties? And he said, I'll take $32,500. And I said, okay, is that for one of them, or is that? And it became apparent that he had two of them.
Yeah.
I said, is that for one or both? And he said, well, that's a piece. I said, okay, I think I might be able to do that. Let me get back to you, right? So now I'm super excited because I just looked at the listings and it looked like they were going for one of five. So I called this woman, Irene. I said, hey, Irene, it's Steve. Remember when you had us do those mailings? And she said, yeah, yeah. I said, hey, look, I got this guy. He has not one but two of these lots. And he's willing to sell them for $32,500 a piece. She goes, huh,
what?
Better buy them.
Yeah.
So, you know, I almost dropped the phone. You know, I'm just sitting here shaking. And so I said, all right, well, look, here's the problem. If I'm lucky, I have $3,000 in a checking account. I have no savings to my name. There's no way that I have money to buy these properties. And she just cut me off and she said, stop. She said, just get them under contract. We'll figure out the rest. I said, well, I don't know. What's a contract? I don't know what goes in the contract. She said, can you get them to meet at my office? Can you get them to meet us at my office? And I said, yeah, I'll call him and ask if he'll do that. He said, I'll put together the paperwork. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about any of it. Just get into the office. Get him into the office. So sure enough, we met, you know, that Saturday or whatever in her office, and we sat down, and she had all the paperwork done already. And what we did is these were properties that needed to have a perk test done. Now, these were more type of suburban rural properties that did not have sewer at the property. So we had to get the land perked to see if it would hold a septic system, mm-hmm. which is typical in that area. So they only do perk tests during wet season, which we were a month or two out just by the stroke of luck that we had. We were a month or two out for that, so we would be able to get on schedule to perk them. So what we did is we wrote the contracts contingent upon a passing perk test.
Okay.
And so this older gentleman and his wife show up, and they were really excited to meet me. They sit down, they sign the paperwork, and they get up and they leave. So I turned to Irene, and I said, okay, now what? And she said, well, go ahead and work with the health department, get your perk scheduled. And she picks up a phone book and she flips it open. She says, hey, I think I might have two lots for you. Would you be interested? So she's talking to this builder that she knew. And he said, yeah, I would. And so she kind of told him about it and said, okay, well, I'll be in touch with you, right? So a few months pass. We end up negotiating with this builder. He agrees to buy both of them for $95 apiece. And
nice.
Yep. A few months down the road, both of them perked. We spent, I want to say probably around $1,100 perking the property. I had one of the three guys, it was me and then two other guys, but one of the other guys wanted to go in on this deal with me. So he actually put up the money. So I had no money in this deal at all. I just did all the negotiating and the interfacing with the perk test people and the health department and all that stuff. But the bottom line is it was a 60-40 deal. I was 60, he was 40. He put up the money for the perk test, and we went ahead and we went into closing that day. We were able to – this is back when we were able to use the end buyer's money, so the A to B was dry. We didn't have to bring any of our money to actually purchase it.
Yeah.
And the you know, the B to C sale, the C had all the money to fund both settlements. So we were able to walk out of both of those closings with a net – of $101,363.50.
Amazing.
And I still have a copy, Alex, of that check sitting here in my desk somewhere. I carried it with me for many years after that just to look at it if I ever had a moment of doubt. But I tell you what I did is I took that money and I immediately put it into my first rehab deal where I made $62,000 on that property. And I took it as a sign from God that I needed to be involved in this business. So I then went and I applied for a loan to buy my first rental property. And on the day of settlement, just like out of a novel, I wrote my 2 weeks notice the night before. I signed it. I put it in my bag. I drove to settlement that afternoon on a rainy Friday afternoon when it was actually a day off. I drove an hour after that settlement south to my job just so I could hand in that signed 2 weeks notice. And I left 2 weeks after that. So
that is amazing, man. That is so. I'm kind of putting myself in your shoes, and I can't imagine what that must have felt like for you. What were some of the lessons learned or the key takeaways from like that whole experience? It sounds like you pretty much didn't even know what wholesaling was. You took action. You were getting mentored by a lady for 15 minutes a day or however often it was. Yeah. You know, you sent out these mailers, not really understanding or knowing what to do. And then with her guidance and some other help, you know, you got this huge monster deal closed. You turn around, you didn't go blow that money on, you know, just stuff that doesn't matter, right? But you put it right back into your business. You did a rehab. And what jumps out at you as just some of the things that you think people can really walk away from your story with?
Well, I think you kind of hinted on it there. The most important thing is just taking the next step. And, you know, I think a lot of people like to get business cards made or get their LLC formed and stuff like that, just messing around. Yeah. You got to take the right step in the right direction. You have to get direction and from somebody, and that would be a mentor or a coach or something like that. I tell you, there's a lot of people that I talk to that come to, for example, my real estate investors group in Southern Maryland, and they'll walk in the door and they'll say, well, I want to get started wholesaling. I'm like, okay, that's good. You know, what are you doing? Well, I'm reading this internet forum and that internet forum and this book and that book. I say, okay, but what are you actually doing?
Yeah.
I like to tell them that, you know, if it was all about content and knowledge, then all librarians would be multimillionaires.
I never heard that one before. I like it.
So, and that usually the light bulb goes off then, and they realize, okay, it's going to take more than just knowledge. Unfortunately, there's a big mindset out there that says, oh, just watch YouTube. It's all that you need to learn is on YouTube. But you, as well as I know, that doesn't cause people to have action. I just had an hour-long conversation with somebody yesterday in New York City, and I was trying to help him kind of get things off the ground. And the bottom line it came down to was that he just wasn't taking action. He knew what he needed to do. In fact, he probably needed more. He knew a lot more than he needed to know in order to take action. So just take that first step would be my biggest takeaway.
Yeah. And you know what I find, Steve, is I think so many people, the analysis paralysis, or the people that jump from, you know, book to book, podcast to podcast, event to event, those people are doing that because it's uncomfortable for them to take the actual action that is going to lead to what they want, which is a deal or money or whatever, right? It's like they're afraid or there's fear to pick up the phone and talk to a seller or meet with a seller, or they're not sure what to do. So they drown themselves in this content, telling themselves a story that this is what they need to be doing. But most people have all the knowledge they need to do this business. I mean, you know, your story and many others I've heard, you can make money in this business and not know what the hell you're doing. Like, it's just, you just fortune favors the bold. I mean, that's what it boils down to, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. I forgot what, I think it was Joe McCall's podcast. There was a story he shared about a guy he was working with, and the guy went to Office Depot to like buy a contract and ended up doing like this big deal, and he just didn't have paperwork and he kind of stumbled his way through, and he just, you know, so it's like, it's stories like that hopefully really, just hit people between the eyes that, you know, you probably have enough knowledge, not to discount the content, because that's important, but taking action and executing that's more important. That's where you're really going to learn.
Yep. Yeah. Totally.
Cool, man. Cool.
If any of your listeners would be interested, I've got the, that entire story, as well as, you know, basically what I ended up doing was creating a 10-hour work week for myself. I will give that to your listeners for free at snowbirdflipper.com.
Sweet, man.
It's just an ebook. There's nothing for sale there. Okay.
Awesome.
It's just a free gift.
So. Thank you, man. You said snowbirdflipper.com?
Snowbirdflipper.com. Yep.
Okay, sweet, man. I'll make sure that we include that in the show notes as well. Awesome, man. Well, hey, one of the things I definitely want to bring up, you know, and there's a lot of people that are listening to the show that, you know, are active real estate investors, wholesalers, and but there's also just entrepreneurs, right? I mean, we're all entrepreneurs. If you're taking the time to listen to this, you're either an entrepreneur or you're on your way there. And you know, sometimes people come to me and they kind of have the mindset like, you know, why do you do what you do? Why do you share so much content? Why do you create the podcast? Or, you know, and there's this mindset that people that teach the business are not actually doing the business. And you know, you and I are people that we do both. And you've been able to create a very, very successful coaching business. And, you know, obviously, you know, if 35 students you've taken on, 100% success ratio, I mean, that speaks to not only, you know, your abilities to coach and guide them, but, you know, you make a lot of money coaching. And so one of the things I wanted to kind of bring up, because you mentioned it to me, and I thought it would be kind of open people's eyes to just opportunities. There's ways to parlay, you know, coaching and doing this business. And one of the ways that you've done it, I don't know if you recall, Steve, when we were heading back to the airport after the Life Inner Mastermind, you know, you were kind of sharing with me your coaching model. And I love the fact that, you know, you obviously charge for your time and people have to invest in themselves. But then there's also JV splits that you do with people. Mm-hmm. And so talk a little bit about kind of not getting too much into the coaching business, but your model and how now you're helping coaches, like you're training coaches, basically.
Yes. Sure. So let me tell you a story about a guy who's in our mastermind that I don't know that you've had the pleasure of meeting, Mike Stansberry, yet.
I have not, no. Actually, Mike from Tennessee?
Yes.
Yeah. So we've connected on the phone. It's funny you bring him up, man. I actually, we were getting into the Memphis, Tennessee market, and we decided to kind of pull the plug, but I sent a couple mailing campaigns and we generated some leads, and I actually kicked them over to Mike and we worked out a JV arrangement. So oddly enough, that's kind of a perfect transition into Mike.
That is too funny. Well, how about it? All roads lead to Mike Stansberry then.
Yeah. Right.
Mike's a really good guy. He's a good friend of mine. And we met through the mastermind. And he came to a mastermind, and one of his challenges that he brought up was that he wanted to start a coaching business, but he wasn't really sure how to do it. I don't want to sound arrogant. I definitely don't believe that I have built like the end all be all, but I've built something that really works. And so I said, look, fly out to see me in Maryland, and spend a couple days with me. And I am going to just hand you the keys to the castle and show you how I've built this, coaching program, which in, if you do it right, Alex, in year one can make 250 plus. Certainly, year three, year four, you could be 300, 400 grand a year, if you implement this coaching program the way that I, teach you to do it. So he came out and, he spent 2 days with me, and it was a lot of fun. You know, we spent some time, and this is when I was living back in Maryland. So we spent some time in DC together, and, you know, and we sat down in my office, and I, put everything in a mind map. I included all the documents, and I basically trained him for 2 days on this franchise type model, which it's not a franchise, but it's, if you follow it, you know, one step at a time, you, it'll essentially lead to success. So I said, look, man, I haven't done this with anybody yet, but you're my beta for this. Take this and implement this in your market just like this.
Yeah.
And tell me what happens. So I'm happy to say that was over a year ago. We're probably going on a year and a half now from then. Last time I talked to him was a month or two ago. He has 6 coaching students. Half of them have already completed their first deals. And he has got a wildly successful funnel that I helped him build there for the students coming in. And he is just making so many connections, and his reach is just expanding. And he's got a really great thing going there. And he is well over 6 figures his first year into the coaching thing. It's looking very good for year two for him. So what I did is I said, man, this really works. So what I did is I basically came back and I perfected that even more. So now I'm calling this coaching the coaches. So here's what I'm looking to do is if anybody on this podcast is listening and is an A player in their market, and that those are people who are either active rehabbers or wholesalers in their market who are netting 250 to 300 a year with those activities in their local markets and has all the contacts. So that's realtors, contractors, attorneys, title companies, private lenders, et cetera. Then this would be essentially a turnkey operation for you to double your current income.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if anybody out there, any of your listeners are interested, or if that's the type of person listening to this podcast, but I'm just putting it out there that I would be willing to sit down and spend some time with them, show them the intricacies and details of my model, and train them on it so that they can implement it in their local market.
Yeah, very cool, man. What's your site for that, for anybody that might have any interest in? Because look, we all possess knowledge, and there's people that can benefit from you know, the knowledge you have. And if there's a way that you have to know how to coach people and guide them, and some people just have a natural gift for it. I believe, Steve, you're one of those people. But yeah, there's definitely an opportunity there for a lot of people. And so if that has, you know, if that kind of piques your interest in any way, and then Steve's just a cool guy to get to know anyways. What's your site for that, Steve, for people that might have any interest in that?
Well, you're not going to want to find too much information there, but it's reicoaching.com. REI, cool. realestateinvestingcoaching.com. And what is there is just an interest form. So if you're interested and you want to get in touch with me, fill out the form and then I will get in touch with you.
Okay. Awesome, man. Awesome. Hey, brother, I got some, before we kind of wrap it up here in the next 5 minutes or so, I got, you know, 2 or 3 questions I want to toss your way and just kind of get your thoughts. For your students and even for your own business, like from a marketing perspective, what are you kind of seeing out there that just continues to work? I mean, I think you and I exchanged a few text messages about some direct mail pieces. Is that what you're finding is just your students are using to get deals? I know a lot of your students are rehabbers, and so they may be getting deals right off of wholesalers. But just from a marketing standpoint, what are you kind of seeing out there that's working?
Well, I'll go down a list and I'll try to kind of order this. So I would say first and foremost, we get, we're actually buying stuff that is publicly listed in some way, not necessarily directly off the MLS, although we do buy those. We buy MLS, HUDs, auctions off the auction website, courthouse auctions, and then on down to stuff like direct mail is working very well.
Okay.
Internet marketing, pay-per-click marketing, Facebook targeting, that stuff's working real well. Another thing I was going to bring up big time, referrals. Many of the local agents know us, so they bring deals to us. And then just putting your stuff out there on Facebook and pressing your own network has brought me a number of deals throughout the years. So, you know, all those different ways.
Yeah, you know, you touched on something that is free. It just takes awareness and just takes a couple seconds to ask. But you talked about referrals. We just closed a deal, I don't say a month and a half ago, maybe 2 months ago, that a pretty big deal. We made, you know, I don't know, it was close to 40 on it. And for our market, you know, our average profit's about 20 grand. So that was almost double our average. And it came from a seller that contacted us from a mailing to tell us that she had no interest in selling. And that's a call that I want to say, maybe 80, 90% of people just hang up on, okay, whatever, we'll take you off the list, or, you know, okay, thanks for letting me know, blah, 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 whatever. Well, yeah. Our acquisition manager asked, well, by any chance, before I let you go, you know, do you know anyone in mind, or do you have anyone in mind, whether in your neighborhood or otherwise, that might have a property they'd be looking to sell? And this lady, this doesn't work very many times. Maybe 10, 20 times you ask, you might get 2 to 3 referrals, but that's all it takes. That lady put our acquisition manager in contact with somebody that she knew. She didn't even really have much of a relationship with this person, gave us the name, the phone number, and not even the address. She didn't even know the address. Our acquisition manager called, and maybe 38, 39, 40 days later, we're closing on the house and we made almost 40 grand. And this came from just taking an extra 10 seconds to ask that person if she knew of anybody that might have a property for sale, you know? Yeah. So
that's a great story. And that's a great tip. I'll share a quick story about a deal that I did last year. That I bought last year. We sold at the beginning of this year, made over 70 grand on it. It was a callback. I don't know if you guys do those, but it was where a woman called in. Now we use an answering service, but this is before we use an answering service. So it was, somebody called in, did not leave a message. So we called back and said, hey, did you just call? And they said, oh yeah, I actually was calling out of a phone book ad. So this is back, we don't advertise in the phone book anymore. So this is years ago. This is old, you know? But sometimes we find that works really well. So she called and we took the phone call from there. But I mean, look, this is something that we were not going to call back to hang up. But if you call back to hang up, sometimes it works, right?
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Chris Chico always, we talk about it, how many deals we've done, especially, you know, over a year or so ago when we were driving people to a voicemail, and I would talk to people on the phone and they would tell me and share with me that they don't call the hangups. And I'm like, what? Like, you know how much money you're leaving on the table by not calling those people back? So, yeah, you just, sometimes it doesn't take a lot of money to market. Sometimes it just takes, you know, you talking and sharing with people what you do, you know, like you said, it's a people business. So very cool, man. Well, dude, last question I want to throw your way. And this is something I always ask the people that come on the show that I interview, and I didn't give you a heads up on this, and I just kind of want the raw, you know, answer. Great what call, comes baby. To love it, man. Love it. So, you're well, the time we're recording this, by the way, happy birthday, brother. Happy big 40. So it's Steve's 40th birthday today. The time that, you know, that you listen to this podcast, it would have just passed, but you're 40 years old today. So rewind the clock 15, 20 years. Okay. What's the one piece of advice? This could be about business. This could be about life. It could be about anything. Well, if you had to narrow it down to one piece of advice that you'd share with the 20 or 25 year old Steve Cavanaugh, what would that be and why?
Well, this is to share with myself.
What was that now?
This is to share with myself, not others.
Yeah, correct. Knowing what you know now, I mean, you're 40 years old now, knowing what you know now, what's that one piece of advice that you would tell yourself when you were 20, 25 years old and you were kind of getting into life and business and everything else?
Enjoy the ride.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. You know, I think so many people, you know, I forgot who I was talking to about this. It might've been one of my own coaching clients, but, you know, I think the hustle is so glorified these days.
For real.
You know what I mean? It's like if you work 23 hours a day and you burn your face off and you have no eyelids, it's like you're to be applauded. And don't get me wrong, like, I don't shy away from hard work. That's important. There's a time and place for that. But, you know, you got to enjoy the destination. The journey, even more than the destination, because it's the kind of person that you become in the process to achieving whatever goal you have. So I feel you, man. I love the fact that you said enjoy the ride, because in today's day, it just seems like that's not first and foremost. It's just about the end game. It's about working your face off and, you know, making a bunch of money. But sometimes, as you know, being a part of life in here, it's at the expense and sacrifice of family life and personal time and just freedom, right?
Yeah. There's a good book called Rework by Jason Fried and David Hansen that talks a little bit about that. They actually did a study where they studied people who worked, who hustled and who worked, you know, 24-hour days versus people who worked a normal, you know, 5 hours or even three or two. I tend to work 2 or 3 hours a day. And basically what they found is that up until a certain point, after so many hours, the work was productive. And then after that, it was severely diminishing returns for every hour they continued to work after that. In other words, and with that, the next day they were so tired that they couldn't bring the same amount of willpower and productivity to the following day.
Sure.
So when you look at the long run, the hustle actually doesn't add up at all.
Yeah.
The short burst of work, very productive, deep work, is what really matters. So that's what we should be focusing on.
Yep. Yep. No, I like that a lot. And I think, I don't know if it was in real, I haven't read that book. I got to pick it up. I'll include a link in the show notes so you guys can pick it up on Amazon. But I don't know where I read this, but somebody taught me back in the day to work in sprints, not marathons, you know? So, yeah. And I don't always do a great job with this, but when I remember, like, I'll work for 50 minutes to an hour straight and just focus on that one thing. And then I'll take a 15-minute break and then I'll circle back, work for another hour, and then I'll take a half hour break and just kind of rinse and repeat that way.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Very cool, man. Well, yeah, Steve, man. Dude, appreciate the time, man. I know you and I, we got a double date planned. Sorry, we keep having to push it back, man. I know. I think in January, we'll be, you know, later on this month, we'll be getting together here with our wives. So I'm looking forward to that, buddy. Where can people connect with you or just reach out to you?
Well, man, anybody can look me up on Facebook, and that is the preferred method of contact. So it's just Steve Cavanaugh. Cavanaugh, Steve Cavanaugh on Facebook. You can, I've got some cool YouTube videos with coaching stuff on there and a couple speaking gigs. And then obviously you'll have the websites and stuff that we talked about in the show notes. So looking forward to seeing anybody that'd like to chat.
Yep. We'll also include a link directly to your Facebook profile in the show notes page, along with all the other resources and links mentioned. So, buddy, I appreciate you, man. Keep crushing. It was good to finally, I've heard so much about you throughout the years, and it's good to finally get to know you, man. And, you know, I just appreciate you hopping on here. So, very cool, man. Well, guys, I encourage you to just take action, you know, with one of those things that Steve talked about today. Definitely, you know, reach out and link up with him. If you have any interest in learning how to be a coach, he's the guy to connect with. Guy's just built a super successful business when it comes to that, and definitely knows the rehab and the wholesale game. So feel free to connect with him and take it from there. So I look forward to catching you guys in the next show. Take care.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.